Welcome to the Revital Health Podcast, where we explore the exciting intersection of modern science, ancestral wisdom, and personalized health optimization. I'm your host, Jodi DeVal, naturopath, integrative medicine expert, and founder of Revital Health Clinic in Perth, Western Australia. Each episode, we'll dive deep into cutting-edge therapies, groundbreaking research, and practical strategies to help you live your best life, having plenty of fun along the way. Whether you're keen to supercharge your energy, balance your hormones, or discover the latest biohacking trends, you've come to the right place. If you love what you hear, don't forget to like, subscribe, and follow so you never miss a moment with world-leading experts and game-changing insights. It's time to unlock your full health potential. Let's go!
Revital Health is a proud member of the Health Optimization Network. Health Optimization Medicine and Practice is a 501c3 nonprofit on a mission to educate doctors and practitioners on how to optimize for health rather than treating disease. If you're interested in becoming a practitioner or donating, head over to homehope.org. Revital Health Clinic is the first and only of its kind, exclusive health optimization clinic in Australia with state-of-the-art health technology protocols and personalized care, with compounded medicines made specifically for your testing individualities. To find out more, head to revitalhealth.com.au.
Welcome back, and today I am interviewing the beautiful, the incredible Grace Hawkins, an integrative naturopath and a clinical thinker known for her systems-based approach to personalized wellness. We dive deep into her framework for working with DNA, HTMA, and blood pathology to create true root cause clarity, and how she blends biochemistry, pattern recognition, and practical transformation into everything that she does. If you've ever wondered how to bring together the complexities of testing client-centered care and slow medicine, this is one not to be missed. Hope you enjoy. All right, welcome Grace Hawkins to the show. I've been so excited to talk to you, met you at a conference recently, and I just fell in love with your ways of treating clients and your philosophy. So I had to talk more, and we'll probably be talking lots more in the future. So welcome. So Grace, let's tell everyone a little bit about you. So what's your story? What's your spark that got you into this space of naturopathy, integrative medicine? Let's start there today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It's so fun. I'm really grateful to be here chatting with you today. And yeah, I think that's a really interesting question. I often have to come circle back around to it, but it was actually my own health journey that really got me to practicing and being where I am today. And, you know, growing up, I really had no insight into preventative health. It was, you know, I grew up in the 80s.
Yeah.
Like margarine and bread and, yeah, you know, yeah, it's all the things dietary wise that were just not, you know, we just weren't, didn't have that awareness. You know, I grew up in a rural town in Western Australia. Yeah. And it was just like, okay, well, that's just what you do, you know. However, I noticed that I was different. I have two sisters, one older and one younger, and they just seemed to thrive in ways that I didn't. And even our body types are completely different. And I would have skin irritations, or, you know, when I got my menstrual cycle, they were horrific. They were super painful. And, you know, there was just nothing I could do. It was just like, take some medication and just, this is just what it means to be a woman, you know? And I was thinking, well, it doesn't seem to be, not everyone else is experiencing this, and my sisters aren't. And that kind of just progressed until I hit about 19, and then I ended up getting really sick, and I went to a few doctors and they just kept dismissing me. They said I had reflux and heartburn and, you know, go home, there's nothing wrong with you. And I was living with my dad at the time, and he just kept taking me back to the doctor day after day going, look, my daughter's not eating, she's not talking, there's something wrong with her. Eventually they did a scan, you know, an ultrasound scan of all of my digestive system, all my tummy, because it was really isolated around my tummy. And they sent me home again saying, look, there's nothing wrong with you. And I think the following day I ended up Dad called an emergency doctor to the house in the middle of the night, and long story short, I had severe appendicitis. I had to
My
go in for
goodness.
emergency surgery,
Oh.
and yeah, I was right on the edge of just not making it, because I was like, yeah, they kind of burst and I got really sick. It's like a septicemia type thing, so I had to be on lots
Oh.
of antibiotics, and you know, the whole thing was, I was just quite oblivious, like, how on earth did that happen? You know, because I had no real awareness about, there was all these signs and symptoms leading up to it, but
Yeah,
didn't know how to
yeah.
understand them or read them. And I was just completely dismissed continuously, I think for 5 visits or something, in 5 days in a row. They were just, nothing's wrong with you, go
Oh my goodness. And
So,
it's not an uncommon story, is it? Which is the worst part. It's not just a once off that these things happen, we hear.
It was like, you know, since then I've heard, you know, hundreds, if not more, stories like this. So, you know, if my number one question, I've always been really like curious, a real seeker, and like, I just wanted to know why. Why did this happen? How did this happen? And
Yeah.
I just got nothing. You know, I was seeing the specialists and the surgeons and the doctors. They're like, oh, it just happens. You probably ate some nuts. They probably got stuck in your appendix duct, and that's it, you know. You don't need it anyway. It's not an important organ. Off you
Yeah,
go.
yeah, yeah,
Like
yeah, yeah.
thinking, what?
The body just accidentally grew something it didn't
I was like, it just happens. I thought, I just couldn't really handle that. I was like, oh, that doesn't really add up for me. However, it did take me a few more years before I actually was like, I need to find out for myself. I think I didn't start studying naturopathy until I hit like my mid-20s. And then I just launched into it, and I just couldn't believe how into it I was. I had done numerous different things before that time, and I was just fascinated by it and just really kind of gobbled it up, and just loved that there was so many options and possibilities and ways to understand the body that I just never knew before. So yeah, that was really my entry point, I suppose. And just the lead up to that, you know, I had, you know, it turned out I had endometriosis. That's why, you know, my periods were so horrible and painful. My sisters didn't experience that. And I used to get migraines, and, you know, that were really severe, that would take me out for a few days, you know, that you couldn't see. And, you know, when I think about it, they're kind of so similar to like almost like having a mini stroke. You know, one side of your face goes paralyzed, and it's a really alarming stuff that I don't think is normal for, or shouldn't be considered normal for a teenager to experience, you know?
No, absolutely not. And I think the amazing part of this is that, and it shines through everything that you do. And when I initially talked to you, you had this spark that no other naturopath that I speak to a lot, and I used to lecture as well, and I go to a lot of symposiums, and that's what really stuck with me, like your passion, your drive, your curiosity, and your hunger for this space. And I think, as nutritionists, as naturopaths, we feel like it's a heavy load, because I feel like we hold on to and we support people in ways that a system has failed at. So therefore, we get so many different complexities of cases, and we have to figure that out. So it's quite a responsibility, because we feel that we have to support and help these people. And so it takes a great, like you say, a great curiosity and a great drive to keep you in this space and have the support network around you for that. And that's really I want to dive in with you today about this complexity and what we see in this space. And it, you know, there's a lot out there on mentoring and supporting practitioners and you know, preventing burnout, but really it's really quite hard, especially when you practice on your own or within a very small area. And you know, you practice in one of the most incredible parts of the world. I'm very jealous on the other side over there of Australia in the Byron area. That's like, fall in love with that. My heart just yearns for that area. So I'm just gonna have to come and see you more often.
Oh, please.
But I know you have, you know, your own practice, as well as you work integratively in a surgery or in a doctor's surgery. And so you're very similar to me in a way, that trying to bridge this gap of like having the support of all these sides. Because how wonderful would it be if GPs and common practice would be, okay, so I don't know what this is, or I can't help you because this is not acute care. Well, I have this amazing person, and you know, many people are trying to do this, but I think there's just not this common allowance or knowledge of who is the best practitioner for what. And so physios get referred to, you know, specialists obviously, but naturopaths just sort of like, or nutritionists just sort of stick out on the outside there somewhere.
Yeah.
We just wait for people to find us, be like, hello, we're over here, come see us. But if we had this beautiful little bridge or leeway into like, okay, go see the naturopath now. They can be supporting you in this different way. You've done the acute care and now we're, you know, you're at the safety level, let's go. Or not, and just, you know, can start from scratch. So let's dive a little bit in. Tell me a little bit about what you love to work with. And this is, I was having this conversation with you just before we got on, and it's really tricky for me to sort of, when I speak to people who are specialists or in a particular field or about a product, or, you know, it's great because we can dive deep into this, but naturopathy, and I think this is where it's quite hard, and this is where, you know, I speak to my to Shanae about marketing this space, and it's really tricky because it's like, well, we do this, all in one consult, and we do counseling, we do energetic evaluation, we do pathology evaluation, we do mineral evaluation, we do metabolite evaluation, we do like, it's just, and then we do foods and nutrition and we do lifestyle, and we support body movement and we support fashion movement and we support hydration. So it's really hard for us to dive into all of that in one podcast. So
absolutely.
Yeah. So where, I know you do a lot of DNA analysis and the combination, and I sort of like to call it from my perspective, that sort of like broad spectrum clinical matrix of like bringing it all together. And I know you do a lot of work with HTMA, so we can go into that too. And then obviously drawing together this specialization and individualization of blood pathology and matching all this together. So maybe we can sort of like start, like, what do you normally, how do you normally conduct? What do you normally see? And then we can lead in from there.
Yeah, beautiful. It's so true. Everything, I just want to acknowledge everything that you just said, because it's a really dynamic space that we work in. And often people will go, what's your niche? You know, any type of marketing wants that question answered. And I honestly can say that my niche is personalizing people's health. Because a bit like a general practitioner, we don't get to just go, oh, I'm just, well, we can, and there are people that do an amazing job at that, of niching the industry, and I really love that, particularly if I get stuck on something and I need to refer. It's so great to have those people in niches, but I would have to say that my area is really in more that general practitioner range. Yeah, well, I'm like, okay, I'm going to receive this person and my intention is to personalize their health. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What is it that they need? And I look beyond not only the signs and symptoms, but into like, how can I empower this person to know what's happening to their body, understand why, and give them avenues to be able to support themselves out of it. And that can look really, really different from one person to the next, even though they might present with the same types of signs and symptoms. So for me, I decided that I needed to create a way to be able to present this information in a really personalized manner. Mm-hmm. So for me, data is really queen for that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Data is going to tell me, hey, like, this is where you need to look. This is what's going to be the most supportive thing. I don't have to guess. I can also weave in my clinical experience and my intuitive capacity to navigate through that. But it's always in that team kind of collaboration space with the individual client, because they navigate that too with their other intuitive senses and their lived experience. So together it's definitely that collaboration. And this is where my love for DNA really came in, because I thought, well, imagine if I could see someone's blueprint. Imagine if I could see what they came in with. I know, I understand it is just that. It's just a blueprint. It doesn't, it's not going to tell me any real-time levels, and it's not going to tell me like, okay, what they need in this moment, but it's going to tell me where to look. Like, is this person really like got a big Achilles heel or a sensitive spot around blood sugar regulation? Okay, well, I'm going to go there first. Yeah. Is it their detox capacity that's really limited and that's adding to or creating some of these issues that they're presenting with? You know, is
Mm.
it more like based around, you know, like the nervous system or their immune system or, you know, whatever it might be? But this is where DNA for me is absolutely amazing. So I'll often encourage my clients to consider that right from the get-go. But what I'll also say is that it's not important. I don't need it to help support my clients, but it's going to help me understand where they've come from. And if I can use an analogy here, I might use like a beautiful diamond head snake, right? So where's the body of the snake? You know, where have you been? What is your past? Like, where has your body taken you? Or what do you have the capacity for? Or what do we need to keep an eye out for? And then, so that would be my foundation. I look at it a bit like a triangle. That's why I said the diamond head, because I would see the DNA being on the bottom of that triangle. And then what I want to do is I want to understand from, okay, well, where, if I'm going to look in these areas specifically, then I want to review the blood tests on as one side of that triangle, heading upwards. And that's going to give me a 3-day snapshot of what's going on for them. So that's very much the here and now, where I'm cross-checking that against the DNA and going, oh, great. Okay, well, these are what I'm gathering, where you're at right here and right now. But because that's only a 3-day snapshot, my other side of my triangle head pointing upwards would be the DNA, sorry, the hair tissue mineral analysis, the HTM. Because then I'm getting like a 3-month insight. Okay, well, here's your 3-day snapshot. Here's your 3-month snapshot. And I can fill in all the gaps now with what their DNA is presenting me with and saying it's more than likely that this area is doing really quite well because you're not really presenting and we've checked all of those markers. But this area here is really showing up to be an area that might need more of your attention. Like, what can that look like for you? So we're demystifying not just, okay, all of these things are wrong with you or you're presenting with and are a problem, but now you understand why and other things that you can do that might be more food as medicine orientated, lifestyle orientated. And the person starts to light up. They go, oh my goodness, okay, I get this. This makes sense to me. And they can track it through their life and they can start to notice the signs and symptoms more like messengers that are trying to communicate with them rather than that feeling of, oh my God, what's wrong with me? And I go to the doctor and they tell me I'm fine. There's nothing wrong with me. Like, go home. You know, it's like that's a really disempowerment because it might be true in terms of like you mentioned before, acute care and illness and disease, but they might be just on the outside of that, really struggling and nowhere close to their optimal health and well-being and feeling really gaslit, really like, hang on a minute, am I making this up? Is this just all in my head? And we can really then acknowledge that and say, no, actually, it's really real for you. And we're here to support that. And the reason that your GP or doctors weren't able to do that is because they're focusing on illness and disease. And we get to celebrate now because you're not in illness and disease, which is really great. However, we also acknowledge you're not quite where you want to be. So let's work together to try and understand this and find ways through that really align to the person as well, which again is really unique.
Very unique. Yeah, beautifully said. I think I love this like model that you've created, and it is so true for that because we need different timestamp time points, and that blueprint really does provide that. And I do like working with that combination very similarly, and with that blood work and that continual tracking as well. And I guess it's this point is, you know, sometimes there's a blurry line between naturopathic acute care and medical acute care too, because we do have a lot to offer in that acute. I just wanted to say that because a lot of clients, again, it's this disempowerment. You know, they go with, say, a chest infection. Sometimes they need antibiotics, sometimes they don't. But what they don't know is that we also have tools and medicines to help support recovery. If monitored well, you can actually make a better recovery in most cases or in some cases. So it is a bit of a blurry line for clients and for patients to know when to jump to different systems or different models. And so that's where that I feel right from the start, what we said, that is that integration is just not well known or not well spoken about. So the other thing I really love about that is this empowerment of clients, and this is what I hear so often in my office as well, is that, oh, I've got hope again. Thank you so much, because now I understand. And it's that knowing why has been happening, like you said right from the start with your own health, you want to sort of know an inkling of what happened or why it happened, or and it just gives you that empowerment to know how to either stop this later on happening again or impact your health in a more positive way by making changes. But that is what I feel we give so much, is that hope and that knowledge and that doctor as teacher, which is meant to be, that key philosophy that we have and all medical professionals should have. So I really love that, Grace. It's just such a beautiful blend, and the clarity that you have around and explaining that and how you treat clients. So I wanted to dive a little bit more into sort of each component of that. What do you normally see? And this is a tricky part in my practice. So with pathology, how, navigating that, because I think what we see as a really good pathology run is a little bit different, and how we dive into that is a little bit different as well. So maybe you can explain that, what you see is a good sort of panel to run, or things that you have to be able to see information for clients.
Yeah, it's a really great question. And I think it would really help to honor that when I do work at the medical center, I have worked there for about 8 or 9 years now. And when I first started there, I worked in 5 days a week, and I was really integrated in the clinic. And then I realized that that model was really burning me out. Yeah, and I couldn't sustain that. So I started to pull back and do less and less days at the medical center, and then choreograph my days to be more sustainable to the way that I practice, which has been a huge blessing and a really beautiful expansion. However, staying at the medical center has been so important for me because I get to build these bridges and also communicate with the GPs and the doctors and see what they are willing to do and how they are willing to treat and how they're willing to integrate with me, so that I can start to chunk out how can I also support these GPs and these doctors back. Yeah, because having that communication with the doctors and having that team or mentality, or I'm on your side and I'm here to help, but you are the primary number one care practitioner, and I honor that. And that really their limitations come because Medicare is really auditing them. It's not because they don't want to help you, and it's not because that they don't necessarily believe in preventative health, or that they don't even it's that they don't believe in the testing that we often request as preventative health practitioners, but that they're just their hands are severely tied. Yeah, they're like Medicare is like the ATO, of the health world. It's
Worse.
like a lot worse. If you go and spend the Medicare's money without it being absolutely life-savingly necessary, then they will take your medical license off you. Yeah. And we have to really educate our clients in knowing that when we want to talk to them about getting blood pathology done. Because if I'm sending any of my clients back to my medical center and their doctors there, and I don't take that into consideration, my relationship with that medical center is over. They're all just going to be like, this person is a nightmare. She keeps sending through these ginormous lists of things that aren't important that my client's not even presenting with. I can't serve these people. They're getting upset with me. They think that it's personal that I don't want to help them. Whereas, their model is so limited by Medicare. So that's my number one thing that I consider when I'm working with my clients. And what I'll often ask them to do is bring me what you've already had done from your
Yes,
GP. Who is
absolutely.
your GP? What have they already looked for? What are they monitoring with you? Let's look at that. Yeah. And then when we've looked at that and we have a bit more data and I can justify it, I'm going to start to add my wish list, my pathology wish list, based on chunking out what else I'm seeing and what I might have been guided to from the DNA or the hair tissue mineral analysis. And on top of that, I'll also use my non-Medicare pathology forms. So these are forms that allow me to and my clients to get any of the testing that I would love to see, just standard blood testing, but they just need to pay for it, yeah, themselves out of pocket. So Medicare doesn't cover it. If Medicare doesn't cover it, then nobody cares. Yeah, there's no weight on anyone. There's no weight on the doctors. There's no weight on the naturopaths. It's just a paid for test. And a lot of people don't realize you can do this. And a lot of the pathology centers accept my non-Medicare pathology forms, and they'll love to get paid for doing the testing because they're a privatized business as well. And so I always let my clients know that if your GP cannot put through anything, because they don't feel comfortable with it, don't worry, it's not personal. You have my non-Medicare pathology form. It's one of the best investments you'll ever do to pay for this test so we get a baseline. And that will really start to cultivate a really nice relationship with my GPs, anyone that I send my clients to. And that's my number one conversation before I start to look at the panels. So even though I have my favorite panels, of course, I want to see, like, you know, what's their thyroid doing? What's their, even men, I want to see what their full iron studies are doing. Are they losing blood when they shouldn't be, you know? I want to see what their blood sugar's doing, you know, the HbA1c's. I want to see their B12 and their folate. Folate gets missed so often, right?
It does.
Huge player in methylation and biochemistry. I'll also want to see vitamin D, which used to be on Medicare. Now that's it's not, so it's quite hard to get that one tested. Obviously, always ELFTs and full blood counts. I like just like those as baselines, and I'll often get a full lipid panel as well, just to see what their cholesterol's doing. You know, really acknowledging that cholesterol's a little bit of a canary in the coal mine there with antioxidant protection. And all right, what's happening in the body? You know, it's going to give me huge clues. So even though that wouldn't be a standard GP panel, they're the ones that I want to see. They're my baselines. And then I have my ones that I'll say, these ones are really unlikely for your GP to put through. You will have to more than likely have to use my forms for this. I am training some of my GPs on doing some of these testings though and justifying them on Medicare if they So some of them do get put through. So it's always worth asking and collaborating with your GP on it. But that will often include a whole blood histamine. Homocysteine reading, and I really love getting a urinary iodine because you know, over 50% of all women and children in Australia are iodine deficient. So I do feel like it's worthy to have that one on Medicare, but you can't make those rules.
Absolutely. I feel homocysteine is becoming a little bit more common and common knowledge, and for reasons of which is great, GPs are becoming more willing to do that. So I totally agree. It is different in different places within Australia as well. We had access to some of these forms here in Perth originally. We have less access to them now to actually do this general, the paid. So we have to go through companies to do that, which means that it's a little bit more of a runaround. But what I will say from what you said, I think it's brilliant that and I acknowledge the difficulty that it is with GPs, and we are in some way blessed within our field because we have so much freedom and lack of control, which is that, you know, that's a negative and a positive part to look at it. But we don't have that weight of someone looking over our shoulder constantly and thinking that we're going to be attacked or had our license taken off us for knowing and wanting to do something for clients so desperately, but having to hold back as desperately so that they can still be doing what they love or got into. So I think it's a big thing that we need to realize and recognize. Absolutely. Also from a perspective of, like you said, bringing in the old blood tests or bringing in previous tests, there's a lot for us to do in extrapolation, and we have to have that. And sometimes we can't get results, or we can't get data that we want. So we have to really dive deep and look around the edges and in the spaces and sort of really pull together what we can, which is, you know, a really good thing. And I think for the purpose of like context around your model, and I really like that, is because the DNA and the HDMA, they're not actually too much money. You know, it's not a huge amount to spend to get these base levels and to actually have a direction to go into for starting your health journey, or even adding to it along the way. So love that. Absolutely love that. Now let's dive into HDMA, because this is something that many may be not confident in, but also many may not know in its entirety how it can be used and what it shows. So when we can dive into a little bit of that.
Yeah, absolutely. I adore hair tissue mineral analysis, I think because of its simplicity in some ways and also its deep complexity in others. You know, we're looking at the periodic table. It's just this phenomenal insight into the matrix of the human body. You know, we are made up of minerals. We are made up of, vitamins, and like we can't forget that. We do forget that, but it's coming back to those simple foundations that make it really take the complexity out of a lot of the testing. Well, if we check your baselines, what you need to function, to rebuild, repair, to heal, and to thrive, then we have to look at minerals. Yeah, we have to see, how are you getting them? Are you able to like absorb them? Has your body system had a hard time chelating and removing heavy metals from the system, and that's blocking your ability to absorb these simple vital minerals from your food? And that's often the case, by the way, which I was really surprised about before I started doing hair tissue mineral analysis. And I don't necessarily think because, often it will be certain industries that will build or have more higher exposure to heavy metals, particularly like builders and carpenters and that kind of thing. Perhaps mechanics as well. But it's also that sometimes some people just don't have a huge genetical capacity to detox as well as they could.
That's
So
right.
they just might have a really small exposure, day-to-day exposure, and really have a hard time moving that out of their system. That was fascinating for me, to learn over the years that I've been doing this, is like, okay, this is not just I'm not profiling this person for their exposure for heavy metals. I'm curious to see how they're managing what they get exposed to, regardless of, their what they do for a living, for example.
Yeah, you can see so many clues, even with the blood work as well, can't you? It's sort of like
Yes.
you I almost joke with my clients. I'm like, "Oh, interesting. You told me this, but I can see this." And like,
Yeah, and I go,
what can you see?
ah. You're like, it's almost like, you can joke like, oh, I've just got my little, mirror ball here. I can see into your body.
No, I love it. So
Yeah.
with that, obviously the HTMA, when we're taking the hair, like you said, it's sort of like that 3 month or it's maybe slightly more snapshot of what's been exposed or how the body's been dealing with, and at that tissue level, what is being excreted faster, what is being held on to, what is being overloaded. So and it is it's a keen way to interpret and analyze this according to the person in front of you. You can't just look at a result. You have to know more information on top of that. So what are the fun things that you like to see, or maybe that's not commonly known, and how you work with the HTMA?
Yeah, well, it's become, something that's so familiar to me now that I see patterns. I see it, like it changes in my vision when I see a hair tissue mineral analysis. Like obviously you'll see like graphs and they're color coded, and I'll explain that into my clients. However, for me, it turns into like this matrix in my mind, and I see this patterning. So I'll see like, how much are they pulling on their endocrine system glands, like their thyroid or their adrenals. And then I see this patterning, oh, how it spreads out into like, oh, their nervous system function, or how they might be even giving their power away, which sounds really weird, but it's also a really great indication of whether or not they're putting themselves first, or whether or not they are having a difficulty with like having boundaries around what they might do with work or in any area of their life. And then I start to see, like clues about how they might be eating and how they might be sleeping. And really, for me, I've got this huge fascination with the patterning of minerals and how not only it can affect the physical bodies. So I can see endocrine system patternings, like we mentioned before, like thyroid function, adrenals, blood sugar regulation, that kind of thing. But how also there's an aspect to that. It's more metaphysical, like a mental, emotional, spiritual aspect, which is like what drives us to use that mineral patterning. I find that absolutely fascinating, and I've been looking into that for the last few years and questioning my clients, like, sometimes, if we're pulling on potassium, it might be like a lack of feeling our creative spark, or not putting that energy, feeling a little bit underwhelmed or undernourished with our creativity. That, like, does that resonate with you? And that the jaws just drop. It's just phenomenal how it's this patterning. It's like that it's a really a big deal for them at that period of their life, and that suppression or lack of being able to put energy towards that is actually draining particular minerals. Like they're literally draining their life force. You know, they're not being fed and they're not being able to regulate and balance the rest of their body. So seemingly unrelated things are presenting that could be adjusted, or that mineral pattern usage could be adjusted if they were to really kind of consider those things, which we don't always get an opportunity to talk about with all of our clients. So I find that a really lovely aspect because, again, that's a real empowerment piece. Like someone
Exactly.
can reprioritize things and have a better quality of life because of it, and do what they might really want to do and what might really light them up. And it really worked for them, like physiologically as well. And I think that's beautiful.
Yeah, and it's an opening of a door scenario too, isn't it? It's sort of like an insight slightly, and sort of you open that door and say, well, look at this. This is a talking point now for us to be discovering together and for you to be making changes on in your lifestyle, and look how much this will actually be impacting your actual physiology, like you say. And it's interesting to note as well, I think the common narrow thinking around biology or biochemistry is that, more of something, or you see something low, you add more of it, or you see something high, you need to reduce it. It's not that clear and simple within the biochemistry, because there is transport ions, there is mechanisms, there's enzymes, there's excesses, and there's blockages, and there's cell membranes, and there's all of these things that we need to be considered when you're talking about all of this with the HTMA. So it really does take a very keen eye.
Yeah, absolutely. Fascinating. Yeah, it's very dynamic. You know, it's certainly not like the chart suggests. It's not just a bunch of numbers or charts on a page. You know, it's this literal holographic moving matrix. And I like to consider, I once read that the periodic table, we used to think it was, you know, we'd see it as flat, whereas actually it's believed to be circular. And even more research added to that is it's actually like spiral. It's like a DNA strand, you know, it moves. It's a moving matrix of minerals within our system that work like the DNA spirals. And so it's really dynamic. You can't just, you know, take those and adjust them like dials. It's a living matrix that all needs to be working together. So that's also a really beautiful concept as well. And of course, we might get top heavy or deficient in some areas. And it's not just about, okay, well, just take some more of this, like you said before. It's a really intricate dance that we weave together. And you need all of those other moving parts. Like I wouldn't be able to treat HTMA results effectively without knowing someone's biochemistry, which I need to get from the bloods, and without seeing their methylation tendencies that I'll see from the DNA. So even that's a living organism, that's a moving matrix that I'm working with as well. And you know, that doesn't stand still. You know, we change and evolve. And you know, I once saw this amazing, I think it was TED Talk or something about the most successful industry in the world is the only industry that get people to work for it for free and pay them for it, which is the gaming industry. And the gaming industry has all these people working really hard at their product, and they're paying them to do that. And the way they get them to do it is like we mark their progress. We say, hey, you get to the next level. Oh, yeah, you win these coins. Oh, you get this next thing. And we really need to remember that as practitioners. And also, you know, being a client or a patient ourselves, you know, we have to be able to know, oh, we're getting something there, or let's review that, or let's see the change, and let's do the reviews on the blood or the hair tissue mineral analysis, which you can, but you can't obviously with the DNA. But this is also really important because it's just, you know, part of that, you know, DNA expansion where we can release new DNA when we are remembering our own empowerment. Yeah, we are like, oh wow, and something builds in us, like something intangible, like the life force increases as well.
Absolutely. I think that's a really good point as well, because I think the measurement, or the way that we see things, we're not always aware of what we're looking for to see progress in our own bodies. We're not taught to actually feel what health or vitality is, or life force is. So once, and I think that's the gift of working so closely with someone in this space, is allowing them to be learning this step by step. And so they're measuring their own progress. And it's like personal bests all the time, you know, PBs constantly going, oh, yes, I got that and I got this. And then just that recontextualization of showing them like it's not always going to be a up, up, up. It's, you know, up and down, but you are up, up, up. Like you're better than you were last year, way better, but you've had a few little bumps in the road. And so that's the gift, I guess, of working so closely with someone and knowing them so intimately at that individualized level, but then also seeing all that data points so you can work with what works for them to see the progress. You know, some people work really well with seeing data. Some people work really well with feeling it in their body or having a data point on their measurements or wearables. Or, you know, it can be different for every single person. And that's what you get to and come to learn with is working like this with people. And yeah, that's for me personally, that's what makes me do my job every day. That's what makes me wake up and see the passion in their eyes and making them learn and giving them education around their own bodies. And it's like, well, my job's done at the end of the day if I've done at least some of that, which is, yeah, it's very rewarding. Absolutely. I've got so much to unpack always from everything that we talk about, but I really love that you said about this moving matrix. I've not heard it put that way. I absolutely love that there's this living system and this sort of Danielle, one of my practitioners here, she coined the term like stretchy thinking. And so we aren't taught this way in schools, our education systems, our even medical training. We don't get taught this systems living, moving aspect. And then sort of because it is so complex, so we shy away from complexity because we can't analyze it and we can't see it in totality. Therefore, we don't want to know about it. In most cases. And so yes, scientists will, you know, dive in and researchers and we'll look at it in intricate details, but we always have to have that wide spectrum, like pull back and let's see how it entails or how it integrates into the rest of this moving matrix of this DNA spiral, you know, as you explained. Every part of what we do is that moving spiral, and it's just so incredible. But and that I feel is the biggest part missed is that we narrow down too far, we become too micro in our thinking, and we become too micro in our analysis, and we miss so many of the beautiful insights that are on the outside of that, or we've just gone straight past it. So, all right. So, you know, I guess we're going to run out of time, and I want to sort of like dive down into a few other things. What are some like maybe key cases or inspirational stories maybe that you can think of when it comes to some of these changes that you've seen with your clients or even integrating with other models or other you know systems or other practitioners, anything that might be a sort of like a notable thing that comes to mind that really empowered you or gave you a lot of passion.
Oh gosh, there's so many.
They would,
I
yeah,
feel
I
so
know.
grateful to be able to say that as well.
Yeah.
You know, one of the doctors that I work really closely with, he's one of my biggest fans. He refers so many people to me, which I absolutely adore, Dr. Mario Alam. And he often shares that he doesn't have any clients with chronic health issues. And he really attributes that to the integration that we have together and also his other, you know, integrative networks that he encourages his clients to see. You know, he's very big on, you know, a wide spectrum of support for the client, which I love and adore as well. I think it's very practical and very essential for GPs to have that kind of support network around them as practitioners as well, because they only
Absolutely.
get to do that acute primary care. So he's just always, you know, reminding me of those beautiful stories, and we have many, many at our clinic together. Some of the really rewarding ones for me are the heavy metals, to be honest, because they are so life-changing. You know, but I've had clients come in with one of my clients. He came in, he was in his 60s. He was one of the healthiest people that I could absolutely like say wholeheartedly on paper. You know, there's just his lifestyle was so squeaky clean. And he was just riddled with what was called gout, yeah, and he just couldn't move, and he was bedridden, and he was just completely such an upbeat, beautiful person and completely defeated and depressed and go, there's just no way I can have gout. How can I have gout? I just don't have, I don't have this lifestyle. And, you know, you didn't have the physique either. And I was like, yeah, it seems really strange. And your bloods are definitely saying that you're not detoxing. So let's look into it. Anyway, we get the heavy metals back, the hair tissue mineral analysis, and his mercury is like five times off the chart, you know? So just absolutely insanely heavy metal loaded, and mercury is probably one of the worst. I mean, I do find lead being absolutely a huge challenge for people as well, obviously, but mercury is really, really, really bad. And, you know, seeing him go through a process, I use really high-tech technology, like a supplement therapy and nutrient therapy to help chelate heavy metals. I'm very, very careful with it. We do it in a very calculated and personalized way, depending on where someone's at. And so over a period of probably 6 months, I took him through several very intricate detox protocols, and he came back in not quite crying, but like walking. You know, at the end of that 6 months, and just absolutely free. He did not have gout. He could get out of bed. He was mowing the lawns again. He was alive, and his life changed. You know, it was like very moving for both of us to see that kind of a shift, because he was heading towards a very miserable second half of his life, you know, where he was really relatively quite young still. You know, I consider 60 still to be quite young, particularly if you're in good health. And so that was really heartwarming. I mean, I have many builders and carpenters that come in with lead poisoning. I would have to call it poisoning, because it's just like when it's five times off the chart, it's like so, it's impacting them so severely that they can't function, you know, and in a way that they can't run around with their kids, they can't sleep, they can't move, they're sore, they're heavy, they're tired, they can't think straight, they don't have any quality of life. So these are huge change arounds. Like these is slow medicine. I don't see these shifts happen quickly with heavy metals, but over a period of 6 to 12 months, there is like life-changing, you know, outcomes, which for me is, you know, it's keeping them with it. It's like, you're doing great. You hang in there. This isn't going to happen overnight. So 6 to 12 months is a long time.
It is.
Those kind of outcomes when someone's working hard and they're investing a lot of money. But those kind of outcomes are just phenomenal for me. I can hardly believe them each time. I'm like, this is like a miracle.
And it's just, it's like, it's in simplicity terms, it's just unloading the bucket so the body can just do its job. It can really then just work and function back into normality. And yeah, lead, mercury, as you say, it's a horrible one, and lead is a really tricky one to get rid of as well, you know, or to help support the body to collate that. But yeah, like you say, it's a 6 to 12 months. And with most of the stuff, I think we do like that even more so, because you have to be so dedicated to that, and the amount of, you know, supplementation and medicines that you are actually doing at such an intricate level and sort of organizing all that. But in general, that sort of 12 months transition is quite true for many people when they're working through something quite hard from their health perspective. And that's where it is, that contact, like you say, it's that motivation. It's like, you're doing really well. Like, look how far you've gotten. It's like the information. It's like, this is why it's taking so long. This is what's happening in your body. This is the reasons why you have to take this long. And so once they understand all that, it's actually so much easier to commit to that time period. And it's relatively short in comparative to a sort of 60 life already, 60 years of life.
I mean, there's no comparison, is there? You know, it's like, okay, well, it's, we're happily take on, you know, studying something for a 3 or 4 year period, or we'll gestate a baby for like 9 to 10 months, or we'll, you know, we'll save up for a mortgage for a year or two. And yet to, you know, when we're in it, when we're in the driving seat of it day to day, and we're making that huge investment of our time and our money on a really personalized level, like, that can be really hard to stay with. So I do acknowledge the challenges around that, and it's really something that needs support and education, and it needs some kind of common knowledge around it, because, you know, Big Pharma has really turned it into like, if it doesn't work within 12 to 24 hours, it's not working, you know, our concepts, which, you know, is true for acute health and illness and disease, and I don't take away from that. However, to have optimal health and function and well-being, this is slow medicine. Our blood works in blood cycles. 3 to 4 months is like, well, that's how long it takes to heal a broken bone. We have to bring it back to, those baseline concepts that are often missed in this such fast-paced world where we want everything immediately and we want it now and we want to see like direct, outcomes from our investments. And it's like, okay, no, this is like investing in shares. This is a long game.
Yes, absolutely. And that is what is missed, I feel, and that's what that sets up that expectation is that you have to, or you're expected to feel something. I'll get clients who haven't fully understood the process, and they'll come or email me 2 days later. It's like, I don't feel anything. Why don't I feel better? I'm like, you've got chronic fatigue, and it's been there for 4 years, and 2 days really not going to do it. Oh, I laugh, but yeah, you can have these laughs with clients too, because it is. It's lighthearted. It can be a journey that you make together, which is beautiful. So it's nice to see them go through transformations and perception shifts, and that's what I call it myself. Is that they'll have this mentality perception shift, and it's something that's quite remarkable actually, because you see a lot of the healing struggles, and sometimes they get to a point where they're like really like committed, but things aren't still shifting, and it's just like, and for me, I'm like, why, what's going on? And then you dive deeper into the emotionality, the energetics, and the stuck points, and I'll integrate with other referrals like kinesiology and even Reiki. And so it's just working with that different system. We do fire essences, it sounds really woo-woo, but we can integrate these different models. You've got the hardcore science, biochemistry, and then you've got over here like energetics that are shifting, fluffy
Yeah,
bits through the
reality.
body, and
Yeah.
suddenly they realize, and they come up to this like, oh, I get it. That's what's holding me back. I've had these old models that I believe in, or these old systems that I've got, and that shift just can be, that can elevate them into a month's healing that would have taken them 6 months. And so yeah, it's these incredible things that just really like blow you away, like you say. And it's just it's so heartwarming how we can make these massive changes with people, and they obviously have to be committed to it as well. So
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah,
yeah.
when we can't do anything without the clients, can we? Like we're really just holding their hands and guiding them, that they do all the work at the end of the day. And that's something I really like to remind them as well. It's like, you're the one that's going to heal yourself. I'm just here to help point you in different directions and support you along this journey. It's the
Yeah.
human body is just phenomenal, and we've got to remember that. Everything that
Yes.
we need is inside of us.
Yes.
Yeah, it's like
Yeah.
we get sold, it's all on the outside of us. And yeah, sometimes it is because we need like guidance and support to get back in there to recharge it, and
Yes.
reorientate within the system. So
Absolutely, absolutely. So for the future of this personalized health, what excites you the most, Grace, at the moment? Is there anything that you look forward to learning or to seeing, or sometimes it can just be I like to reiterate like that consistency and that just growing and building a naturopathic and nutrition environment is really good, but sometimes we look forward to something that might be coming, or technology or discovery or testing. So I always like to ask this question.
Oh, yeah, I love it. I think one day I would love to see almost like an all-in-one kind of testing where there's genetics is being tested with real-time bloods with maybe a hair tissue, and you get all of this in like one amazing kind of report. I mean, maybe that would be too much. I'm not quite sure, but I really need to break it down for my own mental space as well as my clients. So maybe that would be, I've got to be careful what I wish for there. But I mean, I would really, and I have an intention of really, sharing this knowledge in more of an educational way that is available not only for my one-on-one clients that want to take the journey, but more education, more mentoring other practitioners to help move away from this almost medical system model within our naturopathic or natural medicine industry, where they're just following protocols like that are based on supplement company design. Yeah, that's not something that I think is very holistic or actually ever going to really serve people in the way that I think that I believe most practitioners want to. You know, it's like you have to think outside the square. You have to look at the body for what it is, and we have that opportunity, that gift as practitioners in this realm to do that. You know, we have the time and the space. We just need to be able to almost create the models that is new models, you know. And I'm really, really passionate about being part of that in any way, shape, or form that I can that might be supportive to that kind of level of expansion and recreation of, you know, how we look at health and wellness and optimizing without it being something that we have to go too far into, like a biohacking even zone with. It's like, sure, if you want to optimize and do the biohacking, this is amazing, but you have a really centered, balanced homeostasis of health that you have a right to, and that requires this living matrix, and this requires all these moving parts, and to really see that as normalized and a central place where people go to have health, their health maybe starting point or center point, and where they can branch out there from there whenever needed. I'd like to see that being more, you know, commonplace in my lifetime.
I love beautiful, 100% agree, all of that. Second, all that. It's, yeah, my passion to get into this and to lecture and to work with Home Hope and within America and Europe and helping practitioners, helping doctors, helping students here. I have mentors, mentor a lot in clinic as well. It's all to that purpose of the integrity of our industry, because I get so frustrated with it daily. Daily we have these conversations and there's just not this matrix-based thinking anymore because of the way that we're educated still. And it's really quite, I find it disheartening and sad, because we've tried so desperately to come away from that intricate medical model, but we unfortunately have landed straight back in it without maybe even realizing it. And it's really sad, because like, how do we think for ourselves? Because every single person who presents in front of us, we have to think in a completely different way for that person. We cannot base that off any protocol. We have to just think from the beginning. And that's where I rarely look at notes before I see a client. I just see them as they are, and then that's what I do. And that's how I go. I do intuitive, I do mental-based thinking. And so we're not, you can't really teach that, but there's no one that is I explaining that to be the way that we work. We have to be precise and clinical, even in student practice. So yeah, I really, and this is why I did a little bit more work, and I've studied the Home Hope model, and then just sort of like have that integration and do all the other testing and have a look at different ways that you can work. Like you say as well, like biohacking is a really good shiny object to aim for and get you into this space, but it's not the foundations. You can't do any of that, and none of that works without those beautiful foundations and that moving matrix. So yeah, from you just saying that, I think there's still a lot of work to be done, and it's exciting, definitely. Hard work, yes. But I think it's worth the fight and it's worth the push to make sure that this happens for our industry, because again, there's so much beauty within it as well. There's so much that we've got to offer for so many people, and there's incredible practitioners out there, absolutely incredible practitioners. So we are very lucky at the same time. In all that sadness, there's also huge amounts of joy and luck. So,
Absolutely. And you
yeah.
know, like, just it's like building on the shoulders of giants, isn't it? You know, like, we need that kind of clinical, like, mental learning and training, and almost like, okay, well, that helps us to get to the place where we can, you know, do no harm, you know, which is our ethos. You know, we need that there, and I love that. And I love that our industry has really stepped up into, you know, a lot more of the this kind of level of training and requirements around, you know, our studies being, you know, bachelors of health science, and we're, you know, all evidence-based practice. And this is like a really essential move for our industry. And then to use the gift of our industry to enhance that even further with our capacity to be able to see through and around and create, you know, new models and new ways of healing that really honor the human capacity to heal and thrive and expand and grow is our role within that medical model. You know, it's to expand it, you know, and I think seeing it from that perspective is really like what motivates me and drives me, because, you know, we're sort of like halfway there and we've got all this like amazing space to go, and we need each other as practitioners as well to really keep raising the bar, raising each other. And come on, let's go. We know how to do this. We just have to create new models, which is the unknown, you know, and the unknown is scary. It's a lot of work. There's nothing to follow. You know, we have to navigate it. Sometimes we might get it wrong. We start again. We just have to keep going. And this is where all great things come from, is that, trial and error and remembering, sometimes it's not going to work, or sometimes,
and that's okay.
And that's okay, let's go. It's so lovely to have like these beautiful spaces to, you know, chat and hold, you know, talk about these amazing things as well, because, you know, it really creates that community, which I think we all need, you know, where we all work in often in that sort of silo space. And I don't think we're going to build what we want and what we envisage without each other, like all, you know, coming together. So I love what you do, and thank you for creating spaces like this.
Oh, I don't know. Well, thank you. And I think it's, I second all that again, is that I think that is coming together. It's a lonely space for most practitioners. And it can be quite isolating and it can be quite scary. So I think, more of that. And COVID hasn't helped. And so it's coming back into it now, and we're all starting to join up again and meet from all over the world. So it's good. It's good. I think there's more to come. So I want to do a quick rapid fire with you, and I like to do this as well. And then I want you to tell everyone where they can find you. But all right. So what's your go-to mineral when stress hits?
Oh, well, it used to be magnesium, like hands down, and it always will be. However, like, you know, and I wouldn't ever do this unless I did see a HCMA, but potassium is just so gold as well. You know, they're both neuromuscular coordinators, aren't they? So, I mean, I wonder how much they operate well without the other. But I really like to base, if I don't have time to look at anyone's results or data, I'm going to say magnesium.
Okay. Cool. It was a loaded question, and you did very well. All right. So, what's one test panel you'd like to take to a desert island? One test panel. I know. I was looking at these two and I was like, I don't know how to answer these myself. So good luck, Grace.
I love it. One test panel. I mean, sometimes I think like the DNA is such my guiding light, because I go, if I know what foods this contains, and, you know, like what orientates my body into its wellness, and I was on a desert island, I mean, I could just like really tune into that DNA and then, you know, use it to guide me into what I might need to eat or find there. I just think that DNA has got such huge heart and capacity. I think that would be probably the most useful for, in terms of if I was on a desert island.
There we go. All right, the next one is the book on your shelf you always return to. It could be fiction, it could be anything, it could be just knowledge.
Oh gosh. Yeah, I'm such a seeker. I mean, at the moment, I absolutely adore The Gene Keys. I am in and out of that book, and, you know, because it's such a guiding light for me day to day and week to week, and seeing, you know, helping me understand the collective energy of things, and to really understand that most of us will operate from our shadows, or, you know, that kind of victim part of ourselves, and that we all need encouragement to walk towards our gifts, you know, and that reminds me of the goodness of humanity. And so I'm often like tapping into that, not only personally, but for, you know, everybody that I'm working with, just to help me remember where I'm heading.
Beautiful answer. I think that's 100%. I love that. And so the final one is functional foods you swear by.
Oh.
And it can be one or two. It can be maybe a couple more.
Oh, wow. It's so many.
I know. There's so many yummy ones, and it's like, what season are we in? That's probably
Totally. What
yeah.
season? What is like? It so depends on main focus. I mean, I love everyone's tummy to work beautifully. I think, beautiful, like prebiotics and beautiful like fiber foods, like linseeds, flax seeds. They're just such a gold, aren't they? They're so yummy for so many people. Or chia seeds. I love. Oh my goodness! I feel like I can't do the food justice by just trying to choose.
I think you've answered it. Like, I think the fibrous, the flax seeds are.
Yeah, keep probiotic foods, like just keep your tummy good and you're on a good track.
My ones that would come up for me is like raspberries and blueberries,
Yeah,
just
totally.
because I will go through punnets of them, and they're just like life givers for me. So that's yeah. I when they're in season, I'm the bear. I'm a bear. I'm like a
Oh.
bear.
I have berries all year round. I just even keep them in my freezer. Blueberries are my absolute favorite, so I'd put them on there too.
I love that. All right, Grace. So tell everyone where to find you. Obviously we've alluded to the fact of where in the world you are, but so tell everyone sort of like links and all that sort of stuff.
Sure. Okay. Well, my website is called Health with Grace. My Instagram and Facebook page are also obviously that too. So mainly I work mainly online with my business. I also have a clinic in Bangalore, which is in New South Wales, Northern Rivers, and in Mullumbimby at the medical centre that I work at there, which is called the Comprehensive, Mullumbimby Comprehensive Health Centre.
Beautiful.
And I love all of my clinics will work online because I think, I don't want to limit it to somebody that, has kids at home or needs a quick lunch break check-in or lives on the other side of the world that, one of my clients from here that's decided to travel or my, friends and family in WA. So, I found that that was one of the blessings of COVID for me. But in person, so not lovely as well. So I do like to keep my a couple of spots open for that too.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I agree with all that. Incredible. Well, thank you so much. I wish we had more time, but we might have to do a second round. So thank you again for your time today, Grace.
Katie, thank you. It's been so lovely to chat with you.
Yeah, have a lovely rest of your day.
You too.
Thanks for listening to the Revital Health Podcast. We hope you enjoy this episode. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Revital Health, as well as our website, revitalhealth.com.au, for upcoming podcasts, workshops, and speaking events. Find out about specials happening in the clinic and all the show notes and links mentioned in the podcast. Please remember that this information discussed here is general information and is not intended to diagnose or treat individuals. Please speak to your healthcare professional before embarking on any new treatments, lifestyle changes, medicines, or supplementation to assess your suitability. Have a wonderful day, and we'll see you again soon.